call them.
Oh, wait on Rebecca.
I'm good. We're going.
We'll go ahead and call the budget planning meeting to order. Note the absence of Mr. Dunn. He'll be in late. Mr. Brunson, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Members of council, I sent all of you this afternoon a PDF of this presentation. So I know we're all learning how to use these iPads. So if you have any issues, please ask Reagan, because he is our IT iPad guy. And as we go, if you have any questions, please ask as we go. A lot of this you should know, so this is meant just to review what we've been doing over the last year. Again, the schedule that you saw at the planning meeting, this is everything having to do with our budget. April 30th, remember, put that on your calendar. That is a special call meeting where we will do, you will see the budget for the first time on April 30th. So doing the information a little bit different this time, rather than give so many charts as I have in the past, I'm giving you raw data. If you want to see the charts, you let me know. Typically what we have done is a 4 or 5 year look back over what we have. We now have data that go all the way back to 2017, so if there's ever anything that you want to see beyond this, please let me know. We can pull that rather easily. I'm not going to go through all these numbers because this is mostly for you to have as information. What you're seeing in the blue box on the next three screens is going to be audited numbers. You have an audit presentation from the auditor this afternoon or this evening at your council meeting. So this will give you a little bit more detail that you're going to see in the audit. Of course, you know if you want to see the line item detail, we'll be happy to get that for you as well.
Is the line item detail in the presentation?
No, this is as much detail. You have it by category here.
What's the jump in personnel services? I mean, everything's jumped. That one particularly, that and commodities, I understand that. But 23 and 24, we're going up a lot in personal services.
Yeah, and I can't tell you that right now. I have to look. Typically, your actuals are less than the budget because we typically budget more than we need. And so when we close the year out, we're typically coming in a little bit under budget.
Okay.
Any other questions on that slide?
I'm just now getting to see it because I haven't been able to open it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we separate out water distribution from water plant in the budget, but the revenue that we bring in from water has to account for enough to pay for both, even though we have them as separate expense departments. And so that's what you're seeing here. You're going to see most of it's going to be down there on the water plant, where you can see there was a large increase from 22 to 23 in actual. And most of that, and I'm going to have in the subsequent slide, most of that is coming from the money that we received from Oconee County's ARP money, 1.3, give or take. And Diana Dieska has done a great job at managing those resources, and like I said, there's a slide a little bit further that'll detail what all we've done. But some of that, and you're going to see in a slide where we have a difference between revenue and expenses, it's not that money we receive from the county does not show up as revenue, but the expenses do show up as an expense. We can talk about that some more when we get to slide to show you a little better. And Mayor, you don't have to feel pressure to come up with all your questions today. If you have them, have
yeah.
Look at that, please. So just like we did last year, we looked at an excerpt from our financial policies that we adopted back in 2002. And for the most part, the reason this is in here is reminding you that we do our best to do a cost to serve. So what it costs for us to provide a service, we're trying to recoup that in the revenue. The area where we on purpose don't do that is youth rec. We don't charge enough for all that expense we have in youth rec. But in particular, as it pertains to the utilities, we come close. You're going to see in some of the future slides, sewer still loses money, even though we're necessarily at the top where we used to be in terms of cost for sewer, because we didn't raise our rates last year and some other entities around the upstate did. And I'm not talking about just about Oklahoma County, but we compare ourselves to West Belzer, Belton, a couple other smaller towns around the upstate. So this slide's really just reminding you that we make that effort. So unless you give me direction otherwise, this is how we intend to put the budget together again this year. So you saw this at your planning meeting. I dropped off we had information in there from 22 and 23. I dropped that off this slide. The challenges that we have that we know about, so they're certainly the unknowns. We're still waiting to see how the litigation, the PMPA litigation settlement settles out. We may not need an increase. We may need a small increase. The way we calculated it, we didn't think we'd need anything more than a 2.5% to pay for the litigation. Most of that hinges on whether or not Duke gets the Catawba nuclear station relicensed, and if they do, that's an additional 20 years that PMPA has to amortize the decommissioning cost. And so that savings that we would have there may be able to take up what we would owe for litigation settlement. OJRSA, I don't know what's going to come out of the regional planning study. I don't know what's going to come out of the central basin study. I think most of those are going to be operational for OJRSA. It may have some impact on who from here is on the board. I don't expect it to have a cost consequence to us, but that's just me saying I don't expect it to have a cost consequence. The consent order. We talked at the planning meeting about the Oak Street area. We've got some additional information in here. Staff and I have spent some time talking with Troy Rozier about how we want to begin looking at tackling that project along with various manhole and spot rehab. Tomorrow, for the first time, going to the meeting, but tomorrow at the OJRSA planning, what is it, Mayor? Planning and what meeting? Planning and
operations.
Operations and planning meeting. The three cities will have to start reporting on what we're doing with our sewer system to OJRSA for their consent order and what they wrote to DHEC. Since we have our own, and then we have what we have to do with OJRSA. So that could speed things up, slow things down from what we would do on our own. I can't really tell you how that'll be, other than we have, after a year plus of paying particular attention and mapping and looking at our sewer system, diagnosing the problem areas, we have more information this year to bring to you than we've had in the past. Rising personnel costs, staying competitive with our wages. I think we have done a good job of that over the last year. I've talked to a couple of you, and my feeling on that is we're only as good as our last increase in the current market. And we do have an expected PIVA increase, a little less than 12%, and that the last time we had one that was over 10%, it was a $100,000 hit to the personnel budget just by itself. We have not calculated what this projected increase will be. We're waiting on a little bit more information from the state as they keep working through their budget process. And we'll see this in a minute. We have a lot of projects going on, so managing, when I say the volume, I don't mean the actual sound of the projects, but the amount of projects that we have going on. It's fun to do these projects, and sometimes it's complicated because we've got a lot going on at one time. Enhancing the water quality, the water system reliability and quality of our water. A lot of that is taking place with the USDA rural development loan we have right now, but we have a couple of other things that I'm going to show you here that we would like to get underway. We've had a lot of conversations with Troy Rozier about priorities and what to do, and so we'll talk about that here shortly. Increased cost in supplies and materials, contractor costs, city financials, I think we're doing fine. You're going to have an audit presentation today where you'll have a chance to ask Marcy Hout from McKinley Cooper anything that you want to ask. She's going to bring a copy of the audit. A copy of the audit was in your agenda packets, so if you have had a chance to look at that. Only if you had trouble sleeping, would I recommend you reading all of that at once. And then we have the cost and affordability of utilities. Some people forget that we also have to pay utilities as well. So this is a slide where every year PMPA, Julianne London, who's the CFO at PMPA, she puts together, I don't know, if you see the criteria that's listed over there, I picked out six, and I think she uses about 12 or more criteria just to see where we all stand in relation to one another. And typically, we fall middle of the pack on most things. You're going to see, if you look at that second one there, days cash on hand, that number is going to be different than what I show you in a few minutes because this is focused on utilities, and the number I show you is focused on organization-wide. You'll also learn over time that everybody who calculates it does it a little bit differently, so the numbers are going to vary just a little bit.
You said that last year.
Yeah.
I was just letting you know I was listening in one minute.
Look at you. Well, it's like, you know, you get a different sermon depending on which preacher you go listen to. So, what I think is showing up really good for us here, or first I want to highlight one of the things that I don't see as accurate, but this is how Julianne calculated it, is for 2023, our transfer as a percentage of combined utility revenues, it was 5%. It wasn't 3%. My guess is she included some expenses in there that I pulled out. You know, whenever we do lease purchase, I pull that out whenever we calculate that. She could have left it in. She could have also had some depreciation in there. I don't do anything when it comes to depreciation. So here's how we rank up. And this is with the 10 participants. So we're also measuring ourselves against Rock Hill and Greer and Easley, and they're operating in a different environment with a whole lot of different numbers than we are. But this is to look at all of us. And if you'll notice, the period that it covers is only 9 months. It's not for a year. And that's because PMPA has a different fiscal year than we do, and Julianne is trying to account for as many variables as she can. Any questions on that?
None of this includes the $8 million water project, right?
I don't believe, you're talking about this slide right here?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. Because the $8 million water project would not have shown up in our financials, in our audit. When you look at this audit, I don't believe we had spent anything on that project before the end of the fiscal year. Mm. So she's looking at this. She calculated this from our draft audit numbers, which didn't change from draft to final, and it would not have included that. But it will next year.
Yeah.
So we talk about calculating days cash on hand, because typically we're, you know, in our financial policy, we're looking to have anywhere from 30 to 90 days. This is just to help with cash flow. Rebecca can tell you all you want to know and then some about cash flow. For the most part, because we're a utility, we have a lot of, we are typically very good when it comes to cash flow, because every month we have that utility revenue coming in. Every now and again, it gets a little bit tight, particularly in November and December when we're waiting on that tax revenue to come in on the general fund side from the county. It doesn't start coming in until the bulk of it until January, and then it starts hitting in February. So it gets a little tight sometimes, but I'd say for the most part, we work that pretty good.
Are these considered healthy numbers?
I would say so, yeah. Like 30 days is good. 60 days is better. 90 days is probably best. Then once you go beyond that, you're just kind of holding a bunch of cash.
Sure.
That we were at 43 for the close of 2023 actuals, and based off budget numbers, you have to wait and see how that comes out. We're almost at 50. I'd say that's pretty healthy.
Okay.
Revenues, net expenses. So I always like to show you what the costs are if we take out, this does not take out the PNPA and the OJRSA numbers. When you look at I have a typo in here. I apologize. It should be 2022 in orange and 2023 in blue.
Okay.
Oh, I apologize. Back. So I'm sorry, the blue box is our most current numbers. You see at the water, when you look at the water system, how we have, it's showing a deficit in the water system. I have not drilled down into all that. We will have it before we get to the further into the budget process. I think most of that is going to be related to the money we got from Oconee County ARP for water system improvements, because it counts on the expense side, but we did not receive it as revenue. So more information to come with that. We know that we lose money on sewer. And then the electric system typically makes some margin. You can see from last year, it came down a little bit. And then solid waste is holding pretty steady. I will confess to you that when I put this slide together, because I put these things together from the audit itself, I was a little surprised that it was 1.3 over in water. And so I did not have time to research why that is, but we will get that number to you. Utility franchise fee, again, like Julianne had on that slide you saw from PNPA a few minutes ago, at a little less than 3%. We're budgeting 5% of the actual. The only thing that I subtract out when we do that is our capital lease revenue that we receive, and that's because it should be basically a wash. And unless you direct otherwise, 5% is what I will be targeting when we, and when I say targeting, I mean we start with 5% unless you want a number higher or lower. That's me kind of asking. Y'all good with 5?
I'm good.
Staying with 5?
Mm-hmm.
Recapping the debt service, this is the same slide that we had at our planning meeting. One of the things that hasn't been added in there yet, because we don't know exactly which fiscal year it's going to start, is the repayment of the USDA Rural Development Loan. I have a slide a little bit further in that we looked at last year that shows exactly how much we'll begin in debt service there. That's the only number that's not in this slide. Even our most recent, we borrowed for the sanitation truck, that's in here. And that's the most recent thing we borrowed for.
So the only thing we've really got coming off soon will be the police and fire vehicle, 50,000. Rest of them are stretched out past 29.
Yeah, so on the lease purchase, you know, that whenever we borrow money in one fiscal year, we have 1 year from the time we borrowed before we start repayment. And so that gets pushed out. Yeah, the concert fund loan that we got from the energy office, I think it's going to last 20 or 30 years. It's a minimal payment back for stuff. When we start repayment of that USDA loan, it's for 40 years. Most of this stuff is in, well, we had to go to 5-year increment on lease purchase this past year because that's what the bank we went with this year offered. The bank we were using stopped offering it. They were letting us choose either 3 or 8 years. So it's a little bit different there. Hey, you really can't read that. I apologize.
It's okay. We can zoom.
Oh, we can zoom.
Look at that. That's the.
Hello, how about that? Maybe. Reach up there, if you'll touch that screen and do that, it'll zoom in on it for you.
Contingency planning. So in this year's budget, we have $65,000 that is what I would say full contingency. And really the reason we went down to $65,000 rather than doing 3% was so that we could balance the budget. So that's how we ended up. That's the number that I used. The last number that we back into is that contingency. Because when we had this discussion last year, based off my memory right now and not my notes, I believe you all said you were comfortable with 3 if we could make it work. And 3% was less than that 143 that you see in these numbers, because this is based off of our 2024 budget. And I'll ask, are you good with us continuing to plan for contingency?
Does that seem to be enough?
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't. I think we may have dipped in on one small project last year. This year, Kevin Harbin right now is working to have a manhole replaced on Highland Avenue that has collapsed. Troy, and we've got to fix it. How much is it? $19,000. So we will pull that $19,000 out of the contingency. I don't think last year we even used 10 of what we put in. We really try and find somewhere in our budget when we have these, what I would just say, unexpected things happen, so that we don't have to use contingency. Mayor, that's a long way of me saying I do think this is enough. We will, if you're fine with us targeting 3%, that's the number we'll go after. And if it ends up being anything different, you'll see and have the chance to either adjust us up or down as we get ready to adopt the budget.
Well, the spring storm's coming. I mean, is that that's just what I'm concerned. If we have a big storm, electrical storms, if we start having those, water, I think we're probably good. Sewer stuff just keeps popping up.
Yeah, the you know, we've had, I guess because we had a, was it a wet spring and then a really dry summer, and then we've had a lot of the really dry and really wet times in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to me that it's exasperated our sewer issues.
Right.
Because it goes a period of time, nothing's happening, and then it's just
but we've been saved by not having ice storm.
Right.
So far.
One of the other, right. Yeah, I know one of the other. I mean, we get hit with both.
Yeah, Taylor says he's seen snow in March.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course, yes.
He's not that old.
I actually saw snow in May one time. I was in Montana, but there again, I saw snow in May.
So unless
it snowed on March 11th in 1983. Would you like to know how I know that?
Is that when you were born?
It's my birthday.
There we go.
I was in high school.
So we will make 143 our goal, and like I said, last year we ended up balancing the budget by taking that down.
Mm-hmm.
We'll show you that number when we get everything balanced and let you decide if you're comfortable with what we come up with, but that's what we'll go after. So you saw this slide at your planning meeting. This is just a list of all the stuff we've got going on. So when we start talking about the volume of projects, everything that is in that top category is in progress right now. And quite a bit of the other stuff we're working on one way or another in terms of paperwork.
Other stuff including like Oak Street and the manholes and...
Yeah, so Oak Street and the manholes are something that I have a couple slides on a little bit later that I'm looking for you guys to... I'm going to keep bringing this to you until we kind of start pulling in what direction you want us to go.
Bless you.
Kevin, while we're on that, it's not a big... I mean, we're going to talk about it at some point later. Just put a bug in your ear. I've talked with several of the coaches at West Oak, and they're wanting to get more involved in little utility type volunteer projects. When I say utility, I mean anything. They're willing to do anything. Just whatever. Could we put something in the budget for landscape material just for setting up some projects that our workers would normally do, that we could set aside maybe 8 or 10 projects for the year, that we could buy plant material or I don't know, whatever we might need, paint, things like that, that we could go ahead and get these little projects funded and have the material for it.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be a big amount, but if we took the $5,000 that we gave Upstate Forever to scratch kudzu out of the ground for this, I think we'd get a lot more out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, last year, I don't know that we spent anything when we had the West Oak ROTC come in,
right,
and they spread mulch for us around the depot and in the park and did some trail work over Hall Road. We had that mulch budgeted in our,
right,
our budget anyway. And then all that painting we did with the, I don't want to say the wrong church name, the church that came in and helped us paint.
Foothills,
quite a few of the buildings in town. I mean, I want to say that was like $1,500 we spent on stuff. We found somewhere to pull that.
Well, I had two basketball coaches hit me up today for it, and I know the wrestling team would be interested, and probably the baseball team if the basketball team does. So if we had $1,500 for a Foothills project, we might need a little more for, if you got volunteers willing to donate labor. If we can find something for them to do and have a little money to cover it. Just want to put that bug in your ear while it was on my mind.
So, just reminded you that we received $760,000 in C fund money for street repaving. I listed the streets out there. You all know that Oak Street is probably going to come off the list. We're going to bid it with Oak Street in there. We don't want to pave that street, and it needs sewer work up under it. Troy and his group have already advertised. Pre-bid is on February 20th for the project, and bids are due March 6th.
Why are we going to leave Oak Street on there if we know we're going to have to dig that up this year?
Well, because we told the C Fund committee that it was going to be on there, and mm-hmm, I have not gone back to ask for that to be taken off.
Are they going to give us a line item bid so Oak Street will be designated on the bid?
Should be, yeah.
So could
it'll be a linear foot bid for sure.
So could that money that we would have spent on Oak Street, because this is C Fund's money, we don't lose any of it, could we direct that toward sidewalk?
We had to go back to C Fund and ask. So the way they approved this for us is we gave them a list of the streets,
right,
with Troy's estimate for that, and they approved the list with the estimates, because they actually took, they took some things out where we were going to have some trees removed as a part of this, and they didn't fund that, so they went in. So anything that we change here, I have to go back, or I think I should go back and have them say yes or no to. That's why that's still in here. So until we get those bids back, and today they canceled this month's C-Fund committee meeting, so there's a little bit of work to do there, I think, before I go back to them.
But I'd like for that to be an option if we can, instead of losing that money, if we could direct it towards something else. And especially sidewalk, we've talked about that a lot, either rehabbing or adding new.
You guys might remember this from last year. We were waiting for word to know that we had gotten the generator grant from the South Carolina Emergency Management Division, I think they call it, not department. We received notice on November 2nd that we had received the award. We're only supposed to have 6 months to complete it, but we asked them to extend our deadline to December 31st, which they have accepted. And
of this year?
This year.
Okay.
So we will be putting all the documents together and hopefully getting this done this summer, have these generators in. Electric system. Of course, you know, we're working on an operation and maintenance agreement. Still working through the particulars of that. There will be amounts that we will need to set aside for things that we'll put in that agreement or agree to. Some of that is right-of-way maintenance. You know, however much we decide to put in the budget for that, it will be how much gets spent. You have ongoing maintenance, groomings. Grooming is what I call it. Transformer replacement, pole replacement, fuses, you name it. But of the things that we have identified for the O&M agreement is about $250,000 worth of improvements, starting at the substation. I think that is for reclosures. Is the first part of that it's about
$35,000? Yeah, reclosures or breakers, whatever. Can't remember what we had agreed on.
And then the lightning arresters, I failed to put that in here, but that. The recommendation there is that we have a lightning arrestor, at least one in every five poles. So every five spans, there's a lightning arrestor, which should help. Fuses, and then we do have a couple places where we need to do a line.
The lightning arrestors, Taylor, do they work if it hits two poles down, or does it have to hit that pole?
If it hit two poles down, it's going to go to the closest lightning arresters and do away with it instead of having what we had happen back in July when lightning hit town and burned up a bunch of transformers.
Right.
It'll help start that.
I was just going to ask what a lightning arrestor does, but you just said
it arrests lightning.
It basically takes the lightning out of the sky.
Don't put your tape on there, Raby.
Yeah, it runs it straight to the ground.
That's not my wheelhouse.
It's not mine either. Did you hear Brian say it to you?
No, what'd he say?
It
arrests
lightning.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so I'm going to move on. Any other questions about electric?
How are we looking on right away? I mean, are we, is that going to be a big issue this year, or are we getting some headway done on that?
I don't think so.
It's not that bad. We've actually been, a few months ago, on a rainy day, we split up and wrote out our system, picked what was the worst, what needed to be done now, what's going to be need to be done this spring, and then what can wait till next year to be done. And we have actually been working on what needs to be done right now.
Yeah. I know it's looking a lot better.
The area that Richard Tucker has told us that he would like for us to do is where it comes out of the sub and comes up to Anderson Road. is coming through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got everything trimmed back. But if a storm comes in and there's
it's not wide enough.
That's where three of our, well, right now two of our main circuits come out of the same thing.
That's the one at the low spot in that, on Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can see so far down it.
The fix for that is to underground those lines, which I think Richard gave us a price of about $850,000 to do.
He's going to come underground from the sub with 12 1 and 2 to Anderson Avenue, and he's going to come with 12 3 to all the way to Abbey Street with him today.
Underground.
So that's not in this 250?
No, I'm sure. The math don't add up.
Can I ask a question that might seem like the 10-gallon tree question?
Sure.
We spent some time, I think, before I got on council with Lee, and one of the big things was like squirrel guards on the lines. Are those things that are like lifetime going to have to be replaced too?
I'll let Taylor answer that.
They should. However long plastic lasts.
I mean, because the squirrels are crazy over on North Isendega.
They are. But what squirrel guards we have put up, we haven't had an outage again.
Okay, cool.
And I can tell you, our squirrel outages have went from 5 down to 1.
Just per month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we have those on all of our lines or just in certain areas?
There's certain areas that we have it everywhere where it's the worst. And then if we have one that gets on it while we're there, we put it on the pen.
Yeah, Lee did that outside of my house. There was a squirrel right there that got caught.
There again, we're back to a community squirrel hunt. It worked. Say,
Taylor would lead the effort.
We'll have the sacrificing of the squirrels tomorrow.
Taylor's got some good dogs he can run out there too.
But that is... The squirrel
like
guards have helped tremendously with our
instead of Ash Wednesday, we'll have squirrel day.
All right, so I'm going to move on. This is the USDA loan. So when I talked a minute ago on the debt service that you don't see this showing up, if you look at the third box down there, once we close all the financial stuff out, you know, to remind you, we have a bond anticipation note that we borrowed from Regions Bank that cash flows this project for us. Then once we finish construction, the USDA will come in and pay that off. And then we begin repaying them back. So once we start paying them back, you see in the third box, for the first 10 years, the money that we have to set aside. That $352 is principal and interest. $35,000 is for a debt service reserve fund. That's just where we put money aside for 10 years, and it essentially would make a one-year payment if we had to make it, payments for 1 year. Then they require that we do $94,000 a year in what they called a short, I cannot remember what SLAR stands for. Anyway, you have to put it in there every year and use that on the maintenance of your system. You just have to do it. You can use it. It's not restricted. It's not held for anything in particular. And for what it's worth, we have a budget right now that includes those numbers in this year's budget as if we were paying that back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We use the money to match our SCIP grant that we needed, and I'll show you that in a minute. And then we used it on something else. But that number is already in this year's budget. We'll have it next year's budget. We've begun using it as cash, and then once we have to have it reserved for repayment, it's already there.
You talking about the 94?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. The
481.
The whole 481. So that was going to be my question. What's that going to make our budget look like the next few years? But you're already accounting for it.
Right now, it's in our budget.
Do you have any idea how many additional water customers we may pull in with this that might help offset some of that? Any idea?
How many have we tapped on with the improvements that we didn't have before?
Some of those are just starting to begin to be active.
Mm-hmm.
Dixon Road, other than the initial 15, 13, whatever it turned out to be, we've picked up two already that have come in. We have had questions from some of the areas along Philip Lear, Chava Road. It's not active yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming along.
So right now, $60 toward the 481 meet. 481,000.
But you know, the area that's the only area that's actually active,
yeah,
is Dawn Drive. Well, and Dixon, excuse me, two areas. Yeah. And Dawn Drive is, actually, we have had one there. So we actually had a new one on Dawn Drive once they found out.
Yeah.
The lot would take.
And Dixon's going to open up. There'll be a lot of land that can access water
right
than before.
Yeah. And then we got Mountain Road coming on. There's going to be a bunch of taps tying in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's.
We might offset some of it.
It's certainly not going to pay for all of it, but.
Yeah. If it can offset some of it.
And, you know, keep in mind, right now, Cooper's Mill is under construction.
Mm-hmm.
And that water that we start selling to Cooper's Mill will help offset some of this, too, even though this doesn't serve Cooper's Mill.
And they are outside city rates.
Yeah, nearly everything in this.
Oh, yeah, all of the new ones will, but the housing, the subdivision.
Okay, so we haven't talked a lot about this, so this is the first time you're seeing it, unless you're Jimmy Powell. And then if you're Jimmy Powell, we've talked about this quite a bit. We have water quality issues at...
Yes, we do.
And I think it's First Baptist Church, or is it Westminster Baptist?
Westminster Baptist.
So I hope everybody forgives me that I put First Baptist in there. I seem to get those two confused. The Baptist Church, the Legion, and Dot's Kitchen. And while we don't have the issue right now, we think we're going to have it with the Westminster Senior Outreach once
right
they get in. Our lines are not good.
No.
Right.
And I think I told Jimmy Powell the first three times he came to see me, that's their issue. Our lines are fine. Well, Jimmy was right, so I'm making my public declaration. Jimmy
you
Powell
told me
right
the same thing.
But, you know, I do what I can to stay with the same story until I know I need to change it.
The concern...
We did not believe that it was our... At first, we did not believe it was our line. Kevin and Terry and our guys have been out there enough times, and... Dot's Kitchen is the bigger concern. I don't want to say the church isn't, because they've got a lot going on over there, too. But with Dot serving stuff out of there every day, they're having to filter their water pretty heavily,
yeah,
and we're going out there and helping flush it.
Yep.
It's, and I don't think it's anything that's going to get better on our side until we replace the line. I think this.
But the question is, if we replace from Windsor to Augusta, that's still tied in with everything south and west of that. Is it going to, are all those lines going to end up having to be replaced once we do these?
I don't think so. We're not having that same issue elsewhere.
Right.
I'll let Kevin Ant Harvins dive
from Augusta, we'll call it south, down toward Dr. John's, is a newer line.
Okay.
It comes out of Augusta and turns right and runs toward Dr. John's with a 6, I believe. From Augusta back to Windsor is a 2-inch galvanized.
Gotcha.
It was never, when everything around was upgraded, they never ran a new line, a larger line down that road. So that is a 2-inch galvanized that actually was abandoned. The 2-inch went all the way to Dr. John's, but it was abandoned in Augusta.
Right.
This is one that is going to be in our budget that we build for you next year. One way or another, if it's got to come out of just operating or cash, I don't think we can wait on this because of the water quality issue.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And just for council's argument purposes, just so when issues come up with people about water, 8 customers right there are paying, we're paying $253,000. How many years will it take 8 customers using water to make that back? You can't. So when people complain about water and the cost of water, that right there, you can tell them. 8 customers, $253,000. We'll never make that money back. They don't use enough water.
So what we'll do between now and budget adoption, we'll have, because that diagram there and the estimate comes from Troy and his group, we will have them go ahead and begin the next, or the deeper level design. This is kind of the first blush. so that we have this ready to go with the new budget.
Can I ask a dumb, I'm going to ask a 10-gallon plant question. Do we have to have engineers tell us what to do on something like that, or could our guys just do it? I mean,
well, our guys knew we needed to do this, and then we go to Troy to actually work up the design, because we're going to get into DOT roads. We got to have an engineer
standard. Okay. Well, that was just a question.
If we're just doing a service line, I'll say, you know, if we were over off of Pugh or Bibb Street, and we're just running a 3/4 inch or 2 inch line, I feel okay that we do that. When we get into something this big, we really need to have it engineered so we can have Troy's stamp on it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got another 10-gallon tree question for you.
Bring it on.
Is there, is it feasible, ideal, possible for this project to be looped into some grant money?
It is possible. So I have on here to talk about the $5 million borrowing again. This is not anything I'm aware of that we can get a grant for. Most of the grant money is for residences.
Okay.
So when we have to replace water sewer line that is not in a residential area, it's difficult to get that money. Not saying it's not it's impossible. That size of a by itself, I wouldn't want to waste an RIA grant on. We probably could get because it's so small. I mean, it's big from our operating budget, but it's small in terms of impact if we were to go through the Rural Infrastructure Authority.
Okay.
But it's serving three nonprofits right there.
Well, that was my thought process, Brian.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. There ought to be something, but.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this to you guys. Tell me to stop saying it, or till we decide what we're going to do. There are things that I don't think we can go after grant money for in the near term that I'm looping into that $5 million. Some of it, like this, we can handle out of next year's operating. We don't have to borrow money to do that.
Okay.
Some of the other things we have, because of size and scope, we can pick up off really small pieces and do them, which we can do that. Or if we did something that was a bond, we'd wrap it all into one thing. So keep that in mind on this project and a few others I will show you on sewer here shortly. So we've talked about the Unity Tank project through RIA, and Mayor, you and I have talked quite a few times about this, and we talked at your planning session. We don't have to go after an RIA grant for Unity Tank. We could set this project aside and use that money for Oak Street Sewer if we wanted to. We sat down with Troy a while back and posed that question, kicked it around between staff and Troy, and we have water quality issues that we really need to address with this project. A great example is, Chief, I'll let you speak to it if we need to. The chicken houses that caught on fire, was it last week?
Yes.
The amount of water that we were using was all being drawn down off that Unity tank. And y'all used 85,000 gallons?
Roughly 80, yes.
That's not water, it's just sitting in a line. And very likely people that are in that area experienced low water pressure as a result of what they were doing to fight that fire. If the tank had run out of water, they wouldn't have been able to fight the fire. So as it was, you lost a better portion of one chicken house.
Yes,
we saved four.
Three out of the four we saved. The others were separated back further. But it took every bit of water we could get.
Wow. He saved 100 foot, is what he told me.
60 on one end, 40 on the other.
And there's no recouping that money. That money we just...
Nope, that's gone.
Yeah, we just give it away.
So is Michael's lung capacity from breathing.
Yes.
And he won't eat chicken for a while.
Chicken. Well, you know, chicken.
Yeah, the fun thing, while they were fighting that chicken house fire, somebody brought him Chick-fil-A. I don't know if they meant it to be irony.
You have got to be kidding me.
Hey, I eat fried. Yeah.
Eating
recouping.
Recouping.
Yes.
So we hope we don't have that many chicken houses catch on fire, but you can see there's a chance they could. Again, I really relied heavily on Troy in helping us prioritize this over Oak Street for this RIA grant. And Troy really wanted to see if we could have gotten this in the USDA project to the point where we were thinking of taking some of Dr. John's road out for this. We left the Dr. John, all of that section in the USDA, thinking we would go after RIA for this. So that's where we come down on it. I'm trusting Troy's judgment on that, and I agree with him that we should still go after this grant for this project.
Okay.
Because there's also some other water quality issues we have in that area that we think this will. We got people with too much pressure, people with not enough pressure. It's going to help all those.
Yeah, I hear about all of them, and all of them are our people. So I hear about all that up there regularly.
And you know, speaking to what's the return on the investment, Mayor, I don't know that we get any additional customers from this.
Yeah, we don't. Not, none of that we will. It'll just be the new lines.
All right, Capital Projects Fund. A minute ago we were talking about Oconee County ARPA money that they gave us, awarded us 1.3. This is all going into either the water plant or the raw water intake off the Chaga. Excuse me. Diana Dieska is doing a great job at managing this. We have about another $300,000 in expenses that I haven't submitted, and she's got two more projects lined up. So if you haven't been up to the raw water intake in a while and you want to take a field trip up, give me or Kevin Harbin a call. We'll be happy to take you up and show you some of the things that they've done. You probably want to go before it gets hot, because we got that little house up there that the boys affectionately refer to as the snake house.
Oh, no.
Give you one guess why they call it the snake house.
Yes.
But we've also installed some pretty impressive looking piping system that's up there that helps out at the water plant in terms of keeping the water or taking the water from the river, getting it to the plant. She's done a lot of upgrades at the water plant itself. This was very nice to get this money and be able to do this work, because it could have taken us 10 or more years to work this in to the budget and get it all done.
Good. It's great work.
Very likely we will finish using all that money up. I'm fairly certain by the end of this calendar year, but in the next 6 months.
Hey, Kevin, one quick detour. We talk from time to time about the water plant. How are they on manpower? Because I've never heard anything.
So we have, Diana is an A, let's call it A-level or A-class operator. We have a young guy up there. His name is Josh. Can't remember his last name. I apologize. He is training to be an A-level operator. Diana's intending to retire within the next 4 years.
You tell her she can't?
You tell her that. I mean, she's love her to death. She's a strong-headed woman, so I think she wants to retire in 4 years. That's what she's going to do. But she has done a great job in succession planning, which is why we brought Josh on. We have a guy that Diana met at either Lowe's or Home Depot, and turned out he was from Connecticut or Massachusetts and had worked for water and sewer plants before, and he has become our maintenance guy.
Wonderful.
And then the rest of the staff are in different levels. We have two other operators that are out there. We're doing okay. And I give Diana all the credit for that,
because
it's not just managing the staff we have right now, but when we brought Josh on board, that was her being proactive, and he's been on board, I don't know, 8 or 9 months now.
Yeah, cause I can't think of time I've heard her ask for anything, really.
No, she does a great job of coming in every day, putting her head down, getting the work done, and if she calls me because she needs something, I know she's already looked at 3 or 4 other ways to get it done.
Thank you.
So getting back to our SCIP project, We will, sorry, can't see well enough to read off that. So this will go out to bid sometime earlier. We may get it out to bid before September 1st. We've got to have everything done by the end of 2025. That's how the program works. We had about $1 million we had to come up with in matching money. We used a little less than half of that. Came from our ARPA money we set aside last year. And in this current year's operating budget, we budgeted that $491. Mayor, go back to the $481 we will need each year to start repaying the USDA loan. That's where that came from, kind of anticipating the repayment amount that we needed to put in. This is going to fix a lot of really bad stuff that we have in town, but it's not going to fix all the worst stuff we have. It's going to go a long way.
Where's the location of the, you got 980 feet and 7,400. Where are they located at?
I have a piece, Kevin's waving his hand. I'll let him talk. I have a piece of paper over here.
Right here. I mean, basically this
side. This area, this side of
Spring Street. South Spring, yeah.
Yeah, the lines don't follow streets necessarily.
Right.
So generally speaking, it's in between Park Avenue and Isendega. From Main down to the southern portion of Lucky Street.
So all that goes down into that area we have in the I&I issues?
Yeah, and it's to address the worst of our I&I in the southern part of town that the OJRSA is also paying attention to. And then the other is to the west of Spring Street, south of Main. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you think of our city being right here, it's mostly in the southern, western portions of town.
Gotcha.
And that is just what we applied for. We won't know how many linear feet we will actually get out of it. Troy wrote the grant so that we'll do it by linear foot. So whatever $4 million gets us, we'll do as many as we can get, or as much as we can get. So we talked about Oak Street. We got the estimates back from Troy a week or so ago, and where we were thinking it was around $5 million, Troy's estimate came in at 4.63. We cannot go to the SRF for a loan because we used USDA. We talked about the planning meeting. 4.63 does all of that as if it's the same priority, and not all of that sewer line is in the same condition. Some of it is decidedly worse than the others. So Kevin and our guys have sat down and come up. We've divided this up into phases. Troy has gone back out. We're looking at what phase one would look like, what a phase two, maybe even up to four phases to go after this. But it's still costly.
Yeah.
There are portions of this that we really need to get done. The challenge that we'll have is finding the funding for it, so that we can go ahead and get it done within the next 18 to 24 months. Okay. And I apologize that my creativity doesn't go beyond saying, let's borrow some money to do it. We could set some money aside in next year's budget to hold over to the following year and kind of save up enough to go do a portion of this. We won't have enough capacity in next year's budget to really address it. So we are still working on it. We're still refining it. When we talked about it at the planning meeting, I had a whole lot less information than I have for you today. We now know the price. We now have divided it into phases, and we got different pricing for the different phases, which I'll bring back to you and show it to you. It's a thing. We need to start addressing it as soon as we can.
Are we having leak problems or I&I problems? I mean, what's the main downside of this?
Well, the downside is, one, we now know about it. So when we didn't know about it, there's some blissful ignorance that we have. I don't think we have any SSOs out there. You guys had to go out that one manhole that was just a little bit to the side of Yusuf's for that. What was that for? Go ahead, Dan.
The pop was just called. There was about 20 feet of it that just, to be honest, it just disappeared.
There was just a little bit north of where Sammy just did all that work from there up there now. We know about it. We're under the consent order.
Yeah. But I mean, is water getting into it, or are we getting overflow?
I think we're probably getting a lot of I&I, and there are areas out there where there's not a bottom to the pipe. So it's
right.
In essence, calcified dirt.
Right.
That the wastewater would be getting into that dirt.
Okay. Same thing we had on, was it Highlands? Not Highlands. Yeah. No, not Highlands. Hampton. Same thing we had on Hampton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'll show you these. None of the manholes, so I got two slides worth of manholes on here. None of these are in the project area that our skip money will repair. And I'll kind of point you down to the bottom right-hand corner, M124. You see all that clear water flowing in right there? You don't want to see clear water in your sewer line.
It's flushing. We're just flushing it out. Trying to keep it flow going.
That means there's a lot of I&I. There's a source of water that...
Is that during the rain or is that during normal?
Did you take that during the rain?
It looks like it's raining. If you look on M24, where his boots are, it looks like the asphalt's wet. I'm pretty sure it was raining. Or it just rained that day.
I hope so.
It's sweating a bunch.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of water coming. Yeah. Spring going in it.
Well, you know, down on, what's that road off Abbey? Or maybe it was on
Green.
Abbey where we did the pipe bursting?
Green at Abbey.
When Lee Baker was here and we went down and did some pipe bursting on that, we had a water line that was tied into the sewer line.
Yeah.
And it was leaking, so it was doing that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to be a challenge. None of those are how manholes should look.
Okay.
Right.
They need to be mucked out, but they're not that bad.
You have one for a comparison?
I don't have a good one. I'll have you a good-looking manhole next time.
Okay, do that.
I wished I had taken pictures when we built the scout hut, because that manhole behind the scout hut had roots.
Yeah, there's two of the scout huts that are up there, and the big issue that we've had out there for a while was a lot of the roots in the system, which they've done a pretty good job of getting those to let loose.
All those roots were poison oak.
Yeah, but you know, this is the kind of thing that happens when you don't maintain everything as you should.
Yeah.
And I think we're in a good maintenance level system. We're trying to catch up on a bunch of these things, but we're paying attention to everything in a way that we hadn't in the past. So.
And what's the general cost of replacing a manhole? Just replacing
so
the manhole?
There you go. It's $25,000 to $75,000. Just a good estimate.
You are kidding.
Depends on the depth. So look at M263 up there.
Yep.
I don't know. Is that 10 feet deep, Terry? In the top
Yeah, I would say yes.
So it all depends on the depth. So you've got some that may be as shallow as 4 feet. You got some that could go 20 feet. You got any 20?
About 12 to 15.
So that cost is just to remove all the dirt, pull everything
dirt,
out of there, drop
the
precast
in,
and tie back in.
And then once, if it's in the grass or if it's in the middle of the highway.
Yep, that's a big difference.
That's,
yeah.
Then you have traffic control, rerouting traffic, days worth of it.
And, you know, I've had to help the boys get over this. That's just replacing the manholes. That's not replacing the lines that come and go that also need to be replaced. We're going for the areas where we know we have the most amounts of I&I and seeking to get that down. But it is not really an entire fix. It's just hitting one part of it.
After seeing that price, these manholes really don't look that bad.
Well, we did some rehabs at Sewer Authority a few years ago where they come in and put that line, reline them.
Yeah.
Is that an option on some of ours?
It could be. There's some of these that are pretty old. I'll go back to one of these. Look at the M124 in the bottom right-hand corner. That one possibly could. But it kind of depends on what's going on outside the manhole, too. The one on Highland that they're working on right now, it caved in beside it. on the outside, which compromise what's coming on the inside. I don't know. There's a lot of variables with these, Mayor, and it's just it's kind of hard to say one.
Well, that's why you go from 25 to 75. That's a variable.
Yeah. And part of, I'm going to go back to my $5 million. Remember, I told you I'm going to say it to you guys, say either do it or stop, would be to set some of that money aside and do manholes. So I wouldn't borrow $5 million just to do all of Oak Street. Mm-hmm. If we borrowed $5 million, I'd say let's do maybe half of that on Oak Street, take more or less $700,000 to $1 million to go do manhole rehab. And then we've got a couple of, use some of that for some water projects too that we probably won't be able to get grants for. Think about Lucky Street. If we have to start budgeting for these on like PAYGO, we're just putting in the operating budget, we can start putting money aside for manhole here and there. We can start doing that. That doesn't require us to borrow the money. If Oak Street isn't in the equation, I probably wouldn't be, have never come to you with the suggestion of borrowing money.
Right.
We can do Lucky Street, PAYGO, meaning it could be in our budget. We can start addressing these PAYGO. When we bring Oak Street in, it gets to be a little bit pricey. We also want to replace, we've got to diagnose it first, the water main that goes under Main Street before we put the streetscape in. Mm-hmm. You know, once we diagnose that, we're going to find something we hadn't anticipated yet.
Yeah.
And so some of that money could be used to do that on our streetscape as well. Anyway, I'm just laying the groundwork for you to think about.
Is this assuming that our guys are going to do that, or is that hiring a contractor?
This would all be contractor. You know, the challenge we have with us doing the self-performance on this is if we commit a crew to that and it's a 4 or 5 day event, we don't have 4 or 5 days that something doesn't happen and they don't get called away.
No, I'm with you. I was just curious where those numbers come from, if that was something that's kind of ballpark for our guys or if that was something that, you know.
Well, and that range, when we talked to Troy, I think I had a little bit different range, and that was the range that Troy gave me.
Yeah.
My memory serves.
When we do go down that road, I sure would love to shop it out and see what we get.
Okay.
Just seems like a lot.
Okay, so now we're through with the doom and gloom. Just things to maybe prime your brain to think about for next year's budget. We may have some rate increases. We may not. Some of that's the PMPA one on electric. We're just waiting to see what that's going to come out to be on that settlement agreement. I don't know if we'll have to have just a general rate increase to keep up with the, what I'm saying, our O&M cost. If we do, it wouldn't be much. And if it's not much, then we're inclined to try and absorb it.
Still around that 2.5%.
Yeah, I don't see anything that we have. I don't think we have any rates that would have to go up more than 5%. But if we don't need an increase, we aren't going to pitch one to you. We will budget for a 5% franchise fee, which we've already talked about. I hear you guys say you're comfortable budgeting for a 3% contingency.
If y'all are.
Yeah, we heard that you're
going to be y'all are, as long as y'all are good with 3%.
Are you saying y'all as in you y'all or me y'all?
Y'all.
Me y'all? Yeah, we're good with that.
Yeah, as long as y'all are good with the 3, we're good with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're coming in between on the y'all.
Separate y'all.
Yeah. We have 65 in this year's budget.
Mm.
And like you said, we hadn't had a real heavy storm season. Mm. Hopefully we don't have one. That's mostly what we end up holding that reserve for is for electric.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to use some of it on this sewer. I'm comfortable. Number 4, continue to prep for the USDA repayment. Again, that'll be on whenever we close on the loan, which should be next fall, or this fall, I should say. And it just kind of depends on how all that repayment of the band and moving the money over to USDA times out. We will still put that money to the side. Very likely, if we're doing PAYGO for Lucky Street, that's where we will use that money. Does that make makes sense. Prep for Skip. We're ready for Skip. I mean, we've got money set aside. We got the money from the state. We've put our money aside. We're good. Prep for other grant matches. Backup generators. I should have taken that off. We've got that money in. The RIA grant, downtown infrastructure. So keep in mind, we're going to be redoing the top of the street. We need to check what's below the street. Still trying to maintain flexibility. You know, one of the things I think that worked really well for us in this budget we have this year is we've got enough flexibility where I don't feel like we're making life and death choices on some things. Like, we really need to get this manhole replaced, and we've got the money to do it rather than holding on to it for another 6 months before we can have to address it. Electric system improvements, I showed you the three things that added up to $250,000. Some of that's already in this year's budget. We can get moving on. Some of it we'll need to put in next year's. Operating personnel budget pressures. Really haven't changed our operating budgets across the board very much. And that has caused the purchasing power of those budgets to erode a little bit. I mean, we aren't able to buy as much stuff as we have been. So we may be adjusting some of that and operating. Kevin and his group are working on a meter replacement plan. We've got to start replacing some of these meters. Some of them just don't work when it comes to that automated meter replacement system. And we have just the logistics of managing the projects. We'll manage that. I put that up there mostly to whine to you all that you told us go after every grant we can get. We went after every grant we could get. We got most of those, and now we have so much work, yeah. We're whining about how much work we
have.
Or I'm whining about it. Just a little pressure relief there.
It's healthy.
Healthy? Is it healthy whining, or is it healthy to have the project?
The project.
No. Okay. The whining is not going to come. Continue the water system improvements. So that's in there because of Lucky Street. Kevin also had a cost estimate done where we would do more or less what you saw there over on Bibb Street. Just think that where the magistrate office is and where the Rosa Clark Clinic's going to go, they were on one water line. So we had to tap, and then we found out there wasn't a tap coming down Bibb Street. We had to go out to Maine. That's about $150,000, $160,000. It would be nice to do that. I didn't put it up here because it's not a necessity. So we've got probably a dozen of those around town. We aren't into let's get the nice stuff yet. We're kind of into let's do the triage. And then the last thing that I have down there, actually I made it too small. You need to read.
Sewer system improvements, not covered by street scale.
Yeah, so, you know, I my old refrain, $5 million, what would we put into that? Lucky Street, Oak Street. Manholes that are not part of SCIP, and water and sewer systems not covered by streetscape grants. The repayment on a $5 million bank qualified loan is around $400,000 a year, which would mean we would have to budget for that beginning in the 26 budget. So you have around that $400,000 you would be budgeting to repay for the USDA, then you would have this on top of it. We could afford to go up to 10, but based off the amount of projects we have going on, I don't think we could. It would be wise to borrow that much money because we can't get to all of it. So my suggestion is you go with a lower amount. And maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's $3 million and not $5 million. You get even more specific about exactly what we're going to do. But that allows us to get what we need to get done right now with kind of what I'd say our bandwidth, our ability to do it. Some of our ability gets constrained a little bit because if you keep in mind, we have a SCIP project going on. Troy and his group help us manage that. He has 12 SCIP projects across his clients. So he's got a bunch to do on top of all the other stuff he does. So it's not just me. I'm trying to make sure we've got the capacity to do, but it's also Troy and his group, they know our system really well. I'd be hesitant to want to bring somebody else in and do it. So this is it. This is all I got to show you. I'm interested in what your thoughts are, any direction you'd have.
My thoughts are on the loan is...
I can show you the
okay, I'm going to need you to change this slide.
You don't like the four-leaf clover?
No, your little subscript down there.
You may go home now?
Yeah, because you don't go. We don't go home if we have it on a council meeting day.
But you still may go home.
Okay, if you say
I mean
so.
You can.
I
love that at school.
I'll chop out the manhole covers. We can do that before we apply for the loan.
Yeah.
So we know exactly what we're going for.
Yeah, we could, if you would like us to, we could go out. Those numbers that we have on Monkey Street are pretty good. We don't have, we haven't gone out and asked Troy, this manhole, let's see if we can come up with an estimate based off of depth and size. And
I mean a contractor as opposed to Troy. Now that we've got his engineer an idea of what he wants, if we can go out and have a contractor act as a test, hey, this is what we'll do it for.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Well, that's my question. So what I'm seeing is with the loan that we take the work off of our fellas, we get contractors, and that amount we can handle in the budget as we start paying it back. Those are the three things I was looking at.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about, kind of think of, based off my analysis, we can handle $10 million, but I'm not suggesting $10 million. If you go with five or if you go with three, then we get this group of projects done, and then if something else pops up, you still have the ability to go back and borrow more money if you want to.
Okay.
My hope is we get Oak Street under control with this and some of these manholes, we can keep using that RIA money cycling in and out. You know, we got about every 18 to 24 months, we can go after another RIA grant. That we don't have to go back and borrow more money unless we uncover something like Oak Street, which could happen. I mean, it's an old system.
But shouldn't we wait until the feasibility study is completed before we spend money on that?
Well, it'll be done before we ever get to this.
Okay.
Because the way I had our financial advisors first try on price out $5 million in borrowing would not have you doing that until August. All that feasibility study will be done
right
in the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got everybody on notice that we're looking at it. That way, if we decide to go with it, I don't have to catch everybody up to speed on the fly.
Well, my greatest concern is that unknown, not about the loan, but what we have, these fellas, what our team's doing, and what we don't know could happen with other things opening up.
Well, you know, and I just realized, Davey, I forgot to put this in here. We're going to have to replace our SCADA system. And the pricing on that is about $200,000. So SCADA system is the electric system that monitors the water tank levels at all of our tanks and communicates back with the water plant. And Diana got me those numbers last week. And it's critical to how we operate the system. Again, we very likely could get that programmed into the budget. If we can tack that onto the Unity Tank grant, I'm going to, but I doubt they're going to let us do that. But I haven't made the ask yet.
When do we anticipate starting the streetscape on Retreat? This budget or no?
24, 20, the budget we're in now or
yes,
the one we're talking
about?
Not in the one we're in now. I think it could even be later in this calendar year toward the end.
I only ask that because I'm concerned about what we're going to find when we get into that.
Oh. Well, I'm sure it'd be quite interesting.
So we need to budget money for lottery tickets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
Well, you know, that would work except you guys can't play the lottery.
Mm, you have to.
Can I play it?
Yeah, we can.
We'll get Reagan to play it either way.
Wait,
Reagan
what?
Can.
Reagan can't play it.
You're an elected official in the state of South Carolina. You're supposed to play
the lottery. I can't play the lottery.
Oh, We could give you $300 million and you could get everything done.
You shouldn't have left the MEO classes so soon.
You'll have to let your husband or somebody go claim that ticket if you went big.
That's right.
Okay.
And then you can't.
I won't say where I was, but I did have work for an elected official who played the lottery routinely. And he said, I know I'm not supposed to, but if I win, I'm resigning. So.
That's right.
Here.
That's a good point, right?
I'm not asking what your business is. You don't tell me what.
No.
I'm not playing. Donating to the
education system. I don't play it regularly.
All right, any other question? I'm going to go backwards through this just a little bit. If there's anything else that triggers your curiosity, I'm interested to know it.
So what do you think your priority would be? The water tank, the SCADA system, those two are pretty much a have-to.
I would say SCADA, Lucky Street, Unity Tank are the priorities. And then I don't have it committed to memory, the worst of the worst of Oak Street.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, it may not even be Oak Street that's the worst of the worst. It's in that area.
Right.
We've got it prioritized in phases.
Yeah, manhole covers right after that.
Yeah. I'd really like to go ahead and have money so that we can get those scout butt manholes replaced. It's the area we're most likely to have a sanitary sewer overflow. It's where we've had the ones we've had in the most recent past have come from there. It's just every time it rains, the boys have got to go out there and watch it.
Mm.
With that much water getting in that line from the rain, did we smoke those lines when they were smoking last time?
I don't know if they did. Y'all smoke out there at the Scout Hut the last time you did the smoke testing?
No, we have not smoked at the Scout Hut yet. It's curious where all that's coming from.
Y'all smoke on?
Yes, regularly.
All the time.
That one is, honestly, we haven't got that rehabbed enough to be able to smoke it yet.
Oh.
So you just have
it. I mean, that they keep putting root kill. We've got to get that manhole empty enough of the roots to be able to push smoke up through it. When we first found it and went in it, we had our confined space stuff. And, you know, we went down 4 feet and was standing and trying to own it. Until we realized they were standing on roots, and it was another 4 foot deeper.
Oh, man.
So.
That's the one right behind Scout Hut?
That's the one that's right at the front door of that building. There was a huge tree behind the Scout Hut.
Yeah.
And there was one right there that, according to Brian, he had been told years ago if they wanted to, they could seal it up because it was not in use anymore.
We were told that when we built Scout Hut.
That's one of the main ones that feeds everything.
It was all roots. Yeah, it was all roots.
Yeah, and that's the main one that feeds
right
the whole upper end of town, up Evans and all of that.
Yeah.
Comes into that one and then goes down to the county.
Right.
But it is in line to be smoked as soon as we can get it.
That was fun. My concern is once you get that new one in, you still got a big problem. You still got to find out where that wrong water is. That's coming.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't mean it to be quite so gloomy, so I apologize.
You're fine.
I'd rather have the gloom.
Maybe because I had happy music on when I put this presentation together. I thought I was going to be happy. But
it's because you did less charts.
That made it dim and gloomy.
It makes you feel better. I don't think I've ever felt real good about borrowing or spending money.
It does.
Usually I'm happy about it.
I know.
All right. Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Yep.